seated. Thank you for the good singing, and thank you so much for jumping in on the piano, Emily, wherever you are. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. We continue our study of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, today with only a single verse. He has compressed the matter of parenting into a single verse. Would that it were so easy, you say. Well, I will open it up for you some, but here we are from Ephesians chapter 6. I would like to start with verse 1 in order to remind you how the scripture itself addresses children and the reasons given for their obedience. I will make some application of this to parents. So let's note also how the scripture addresses children and their need to walk as saints in the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray together briefly. Our Father, once again, we come to you with a profound sense of our need that you would open and apply even these few words to our hearts and lives and congregation as our civilization, as Western civilization as a whole is in so many ways falling apart in this matter. We pray that your people might more and more be built up and to be able to be as lights in the darkness. And for this, we pray for that light of life in our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of your Spirit, and the forgiveness of our many sins in him. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, study after study confirms it. Parents make all the difference. One educator writes this, quote, "The single most important factor in student success is parent involvement," end quote. And in childhood development, in health and well-being, in growing up law-abiding and safety, and in nearly every other outcome you can mention, I would like to give you parents encouragement that still in this crazy world, parents make all the difference. However, spiritually speaking, parents do not make all the difference. Jesus makes all the difference. And this is very important for me to say right up front today that in raising our children, there are many things, of course, that we can do. In raising our children, the most important thing we cannot do. The most important thing is what we read in the first three chapters of this letter. That our children be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That they receive new birth and with new hearts and a new spirit within them. That they live as heirs of eternal glory in Christ Jesus. That is what makes all the difference, though parents have a critical role to play, no doubt. But all clear thinking about the matter of parenting starts here. We are unable to do what most needs to be done. The one thing necessary for our children's life and eternal life is in the hand of Jesus. The Son gives life to whom he will. We read John 5. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees. You're not willing to come to me that you might have life. And so it is that the great work of parenting must begin to grow in the soil of our own inability. And then, like those parents in the Gospels we read about, we will bring our children to Jesus in prayer, in devotion, in word, and in worship, and so forth, that they may receive from him what we cannot give them. Children may not need extracurricular activities. They may not need video games or other things that often take considerable time and energy. But children need Jesus. We are born all, chapter 2, children of wrath. They need Jesus to save them from their sins, to give them new hearts and holy lives. And until parents are absolutely convinced that this is their greatest need, then parents won't do the most important thing. Bring them to Him. Oh, they may bring them to church for 2 hours morning, one day a week. But real Christian parenting begins with this conviction. The one thing that's absolutely necessary for children to live a new life in supreme joy as children of God. The one thing our children utterly and desperately, absolutely need is in Jesus. And this is one reason why we're always encouraging you in the practice of gathering the family for reading of the word and prayer and godly conversation. It's not just obedience to commands. You're bringing your family to Jesus to do what only He can do. Your work has just begun when you give your children birth. They must be born again. And Paul realized his inability and how he labored. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. That's to be our attitude. And so it is just as a simple matter of history that the principal means of the growth of the people of God from its very beginning has been grace communicated through Christian nurture of children in family and in church. I mean, evangelism has added its thousands, but parents especially bringing their children to Jesus has added its tens of thousands. And so it is, I say, by way of introduction, that we have an inability as we come to this matter. Our children are, though, so much more than the sum of our parenting and our influence, right? Joseph's mother died when he was very young. His brothers were intensely jealous of him and despised him. They nearly killed him, sold him as a young man into slavery, lied to his dad. Joseph was falsely accused, imprisoned, forgotten for years. And how did that man turn out? How would you expect a man from such a dysfunctional family to end up? Was he rebellious, bitter, cynical, resentful, or angry? If people are only the sum of their experience, that might be the result in Joseph's life. But how do we find him? He walked with the Lord, a godly man, and he was blessed. And the point is, parents, in my introduction, thank God it doesn't all depend on us. Thank God that we don't make all the difference. We have a role to play, but Jesus makes all the difference. In so many ways, we parents fall short. He is able to correct by grace our deficiency that we have given them by nurture. Even if we could do all that was required of us as parents, theoretically, that would not guarantee anything. God Himself laments in the first chapter of Jeremiah, saying, quote, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The Lord was a perfect father, and even He had rebellious children in that season. And so you parents who have done far less than the Lord, although there's much you can do, I begin with your inability. Even if you had done all, what would it guarantee? There's only one who is able to make the ultimate difference in your children's heart and life and eternal life. And therefore you must, by prayer, by word, by example, by word, by worship, by devotion, by all the influence of parental love and all the ways that you can, bring them to Jesus. And Jesus is on record saying, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. And that is in so many ways what we will be studying today, although in reverse order, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. This is parenting in a verse. And we come today to understand the important role that parents do play. The apostle summarizes it for us this way in verse 4 of chapter 6. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's consider it as it's given to us. Two commands, two sides of this, the negative and the positive. Just 2 points today. But here we go. First, the negative side. The first half, the put off. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, as given, this verse has a very broad compass and application. Broadly speaking, we are not to provoke our children to wrath. Well, what does that mean? There are many excellent books that give a long list of things that we should avoid. Not to get mired in the weeds, but I'll give you a quick sampling. If you were to pick up, for instance, MacArthur's New Testament Commentary, O'Brien's on Ephesians, or Martin Lloyd-Jones' Life in the Spirit, you would read such things as this, that we must avoid over and under discipline.